Hello, everyone.
Hi.
And welcome to
Queeriosities.
We actually just forgot how to open the podcast. Apologies for laughing already. It's been a minute, friends. We've missed you.
We have. We have to get, like, back into the flow of things.
I know. The flow might be, this might be a little rocky.
Well, we figured out the tech so far. It took us a second, but we got it.
Yeah, we did get it. And can I share that we are feeling very comfortable right now? We have a new recording spot.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting.
It is kind of exciting, and it's, like,
intimate.
It's intimate.
Isn't it?
Great word.
Yeah, I thought so.
It's more intimate. It's small. It's, like, lights are dimmed. It's, like, it's sounding
it's
very
contained.
Intimate. Yep. It feels more podcast-like.
It does, yeah.
Than sitting at my coffee table on pillows.
Although it is comfortable. Coffee table.
I agree. And we might mix it up again because we don't have a video component, so...
You want that.
Video component. I do. I do.
Would people be able to handle the visual? That would be...
Why, did you want to describe the visual right now? You have a problem with the visual right now?
No. No, I do not have a problem with the visual.
Okay. Audience,
you're missing out.
I believe what Kayla's referring to right now is when I was reaching into these bags. You know when you reach into a bag that you haven't opened in a long time and you're like, oh my God, that thing, that's where it's been.
The Mary Poppins bag.
Voila. So there was a bag. I reached in and what did I find? It's called a rainbow cape, appropriately named. Because one of my friends saw it on sale at Party City, bought it for me a while back. I had put it in a bag. It became the bag that you never look in. Just looked in it. I have it on. You know what? Maybe we'll feature this cape in our photo of this week.
I think you should feature that photo.
Oh, we'll see, team.
Yeah.
Who becomes the wearer of the cape? Anyway, so we're very pumped about this new podcast spot, and we're just very grateful that you're joining us today.
Yeah.
And that you're coming along for the ride of us not having a specific schedule, like we said last time. We're recording when we've got some time, and we've got, like, enough love to put into it, which just happens to be today.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, we are very, very grateful for you.
We set the tone right today. We went out. We got food.
Oh, we did.
At a restaurant. We did takeout.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good choice.
Oh. It was delicious.
And we noticed the importance of patience within that little short outing.
Well, and it was worth talking about because we went over, we ordered online, we went over, we picked up our stuff. And then one of the people who was serving us at the very end very sincerely said, I thank you so much for your patience.
Yeah. When really, they were like early.
They were totally like... They did exactly as they should have. We had gone over a little bit too early, fine. But it was so sincere, it made us both kind of think, wow, how often are people so impatient in those contexts that his, I thank you for your patience, felt so deep and sincere.
Yeah. And I thought, wow, people are really impatient.
And I wonder if that's, I don't know, is that a seasonal thing? Is that a...
No, I don't think so.
What is it? I don't know.
I think it's in general. It's an epidemic.
Maybe this is an invite. It was an invite to both of us because it felt so sincere to remember to be more patient.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we're just throwing it out to our community that, oh my gosh, patience goes a long way.
Yeah.
Right? Especially when someone is working in the food industry or in retail.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, anything that's worth its weight in gold.
Anyone working directly with the public.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just smile, let them do their work, and you'll get your product when you get your product.
Yeah.
Which then brought us to the discussion of road rage, which we're not going to go into right now because it was a long discussion. But I do wonder who would be on my side of this and who would be on your side. I'm going to paint the picture for you, audience. You're driving down the road. You don't have anywhere particular to be. And a car, say, two in front of you is pulling off to the side. And they're waiting for the lane across from them, to get a spot where they can turn. So they're making you wait. But there's enough room on the other side of the vehicle that you can easily pass. Do you pass or do you wait?
Yeah. You wait.
Oh my God, you pass.
No, you wait.
I'm even frustrated right now that you wait, because I'm almost like, why are you waiting?
Because there has been so many situations where I've been cut off or another person gets cut off because the person that's trying to, like, bypass someone else is in the wrong and they're just not being impatient. So it's like a four-way stop or, like, a three-way stop or whatever it may be. And people just kind of, like, try to scoop around. Or they then go side of the road and now there's big divots and, like, ruts in the road.
That's me.
You're a rut maker.
I'm a rut. Well, I don't think my Honda makes that many ruts, but
I would be surprised.
I am a rut maker, 100%. Yeah. I will get that, and I'm not, you know, a really anxious, impatient person all the time, but that car just brings it out of you.
I'm the person that sits right in front of you and makes it so that you can't bypass the person that's in front of me. I'm trying to teach you to be impatient. Girl. And just to soak it all up.
You're trying to teach me to be patient.
No, impatient. Just soak in that feeling of being impatient.
Like, you're not even trying to teach me a lesson. You're just trying to make me sit in that feeling of impatience. How does it feel
to be so worked up when you're going nowhere on no time frame?
Wow, think about that, audience. Next time you pass someone, think about that voice of Kayla's. How does it feel to sit in that impatience? So,
on a not queer note.
No, not queer note at all. Anyway, it was just something that we're really thinking about today. And I'm going to try to be a bit more patient, but I don't even think. It's just not my priority right now. I'm not going to make time for that.
I'm going to be so patient.
Okay. There is something, though, that is on a queer note that we really want to share with you. And then we'll get to the bulk of today. Okay. So, I want to set it up. Can I set it up?
You can set it up.
So we hadn't done the podcast, obviously, in a couple of weeks, and we decided we'll do it when we have the gusto and the love and all the energy to be able to do it, which happened to be today, which was awesome. So we arrive at our destination to record, and we open the computer. What is there but an email from a person who we will not name telling us essentially how much the podcast made them feel seen in a specific context.
And I love, like, the subject because it's so, like, near and dear to me, I think, with, like, the clothes that you can wear, like, in a professional setting or just, like, finding masculine-appearing clothes or stereotypically masculine clothes, but, like, for, like, all different sizes of bodies, that would be really nice. So I'm like, of all the topics that we could have gotten an email about today, that was the one.
Yeah, and I think that was one that was we were really passionate about too, especially you, because it's hard for you to find clothes, right?
I did well today, though.
You did do really well today, and it fits in your shoulders and everything.
Pretty masculine, too.
I mean, is that not every day?
Yes, but I'm really happy.
Okay, so masculine in this moment.
Masculine
she
today.
She put her hands on her hips, everyone, just so you can picture that.
I just needed
that.
The cape.
Masculine
I
today.
I need the rainbow cape.
Okay, you'll have it for the pic. Okay, but that... It was a nugget of gold. And so if, person who sent us the email, you're listening, we love you.
Woo.
Thank you for sending it.
We really appreciate it.
Because taking the time to do it, so even if you're, and multiple people have done that, right?
Yeah.
On Facebook or written us a message or texted us. When an episode resonates with you, it feels like gold to hear that it resonated with you. Because sometimes it can be hard to remember that what we're saying is important and that some people... You know, it means something to hear it.
And it's a boost for us, right?
Oh, my God. And yeah, for us coming together today, we want to do it, of course. It brings us so much joy. But it was that extra boost of what you're doing also matters.
Yeah.
And it's just what we needed today. Yeah. So.
It worked out really well.
Great timing,
yeah.
Stranger, that we really, really appreciate. Okay, for today's
topic.
This is something that... You and I have really been talking about and texting about kind of for a while when examples come up in each of our lives. And audience member, if you can, like, just picture you're in your neighborhood, you're walking down the street, you see a couple. One is femme presenting, one is masculine presenting. You're assuming one is a woman, one is a man. What is your assumption about their sexual orientation?
Obviously, they're together and they're straight.
The assumption is that they're straight.
That's the heteronormative guide that we've been following our entire lives.
And it's a heteronormative guide also that I feel isn't talked about enough. No. It's like this idea of heteronormativity that hasn't yet been debunked on a significant level, that people assume they're straight.
Yeah, automatically.
And that is so wrong.
But that's why we talked about it before, I think. Like, you're straight until proven guilty or gay.
Right. Yeah, which is the base of heteronormativity, mm-hmm. right? But I don't even think... And can I say I am 100% guilty of doing this?
Presenting as straight?
No, that too, sometimes, yes. But assuming that a couple is straight because they present as opposite sexes.
We've been wired that way. We do it without thinking.
Yeah, so if you and I are doing it on that level, you know, that kind of unconscious level still all the time, yeah. I can only imagine how much it's happening for people who don't hold this as a priority in their life.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Right? So for me, it's like, you have no idea. Just as much as if you see someone, you know, with a gender expression of a certain type, that doesn't at all mean that that's their gender. If you see two people together, you have no idea what their sexual orientation is.
No. You make assumptions, but that's it.
And I think, I forget why it came up for us most recently, but we do have people in our communities mm-hmm. who have expressed how frustrating that is, right? Because they are queer, they identify as queer, and in the 2S LGBT plus community, they happen to be dating or married to someone of the opposite, like, gender in quotes, because there's no opposite gender, or even opposite sex, but you know what I mean? Like a femme presenting and a mass presenting. And it's unfair.
Yeah.
Because they're like, the world doesn't know that I'm queer, mm-hmm. right? And so...
And then if that person says, I am queer, they're like, no, you're not, because you're with someone appearing to be the opposite sex.
Okay.
In quotation marks.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Because that's someone's heteronormativity informing the way they actually interact with the person.
Yeah.
Which is like the next level of destructive, right?
Yeah.
And so assuming that is wrong. But it's happened that our friends have been approached with, you're not queer, or you're not queer enough.
Yeah.
So what is the, what is the...
The scale.
What is the scale of queer enough? And I think that there's, like, how does one affirm their queerness in a way other than showing their partner?
You dress like me.
Okay. Guys, she just like put her shoulders back and put her hands on her hips like Superman. Okay.
And you go and get my haircut. And then you walk around.
Okay, fine. You too. You're super queer. Okay, that's
without
true.
Without even trying.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Which is okay.
But you would have to put on a rainbow cape today.
Right.
Yes.
And this is just an extreme version of myself because I'm just like playing around.
Yes.
But I think there's privilege to be analyzed within the umbrella of the spectrum of queerness.
Yeah. There's like the privilege of wanting to present as queer and you just automatically look queer. But then there's also the privilege of not looking queer in certain scenarios, even if you are queer.
100%. And we have, I guess, a lot of examples of that, right? And even before we get there, if we go back to the question of how do you affirm your queerness without using your partner,
mm-hmm.
sure. For the general population, do they feel like they have to?
I think it's a personal choice. Like, some people I think are confident and like they want people to know. Other people are like, I can be queer and like not tell people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you're right. That's an elementary question, I guess, that I just asked. But because for me...
It's still a good question.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
No stupid questions. Because for me, if Aaron's not around, like if I'm not physically holding the hand of my wife, I have a strong desire for the general population to know that I'm queer.
Yeah.
Why?
Is it because you don't feel like you automatically, like that you can pass as straight, basically?
Yeah. Like, you navigate the world in a way that you assume people see you and assume you're queer. So your queerness is on display.
I'm always surprised when someone does not automatically assume.
Yeah, like, we've had...
What more could I have done?
Yeah, like, haven't we had students, like, this year or last year that are
shocked,
like...
shocked and appalled.
Have Kayla's gay?
You have a partner, a wife? What?
And we're like...
share a house with a female? What is going on?
Have you seen her?
How did you not know?
Okay, but that's also, like, what are their experiences with queerness previous to coming to school this year? But as
it's
adult,
a fun surprise for 100%. Me. It's amusing.
I know, I love it every time. But you navigate the world as a queer woman confidently in the way that you express your gender.
Yes.
And your sexual orientation, which is interesting because they're two different things.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, we're kind of like thinking it live right now on the spot, so it may seem scattered, but I find it very interesting.
Could be entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Kayla just started to dance there in the entertainment for you guys. So,
That's why we don't do video podcasts.
Okay, not yet. For me, I'm navigating the world not necessarily looking like a queer woman.
You're a queer woman presenting as possibly straight.
Yeah, because I look more femme.
Yeah, you look more femme.
And so there's something in me that's like, okay, I look femme because that's the way I want to. Or even if I look more masculine, it's more feminine,
right?
I think. So I'm always like slipping air into the conversation.
So that people are aware.
Because I want people to be aware.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And so I think that speaks directly to, it obviously comes from a place of privilege. Like I want to slip my wife into conversation because I feel so honored to be a queer woman.
And to have Aaron.
Oh, fine. I know. Okay, yes. But also, these strangers who don't know my wife, it's not about Aaron as a person. It's about me wanting to associate myself as a queer woman because that is a very important piece of me.
Right.
That I'm very deeply proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that in itself is not the experience, obviously, of every queer person. Like, I have the privilege to navigate the world that way because I've never had an experience of trauma related to my sexual orientation.
Right.
I've had difficult situations, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We can get into those. But I haven't
nothing
ever
that would make
held shame about my sexual orientation.
Right.
Right? And I think maybe that's something that's not talked about enough is... Yeah, like, what is the level of queerness? What's the experience with queerness that makes one either want to affirm or not want to affirm their queerness when assumed otherwise?
Right.
And I think if we can, because you and I have talked about a lot of examples of this recently, that privilege is directly associated to personal safety.
Yeah. And, like, you know... There have been conversations before, but, like, what countries would I go to now?
Oh, yeah.
And because I'm so, like, queer-presenting, I would hesitate going to certain countries where homosexuality, queerness, is not accepted, either on, like, a legal level or, like, a societal level, because it's not like I'm wanting to hide myself or change how I present myself. So if that place isn't accepting of me, that's not a place that I necessarily want to go to at this point. On, like, a moral level and, like, a safety level.
Absolutely. And I think that's really interesting when we think about couples who are straight presenting.
Yeah.
Traveling to countries or putting themselves in environments that are more prone to homophobic practices.
Right.
Because they have the privilege of hiding their queerness... And, of course, it's personal choice of whether you travel to certain countries or not. But it would be interesting because that would take up effort in their minds.
Yeah.
That the general public might not realize because they can pass. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like I had to travel to a country a couple years ago with a female partner where being gay was illegal. And it was for, like, a university trip.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it was my choice to go, but it wasn't like we were going on vacation.
Right.
Right? And so, you know, it took up a significant amount of brain space to be like, okay, and my partner was with me on the trip, that it was like, okay, we can't show affection, we cannot hold hands, we cannot kiss, we cannot hug, we cannot be partners with these students that we're working with.
Right.
You know, and we like, it was among my group kind of a joke, like, well, if you guys get arrested, I hope you share the same cell. Like, right? And yes, we're making light of a very traumatic situation, potentially, right? Mm-hmm. But that, for me, and less so for her, I was privileged in a way that I didn't look gay.
Right.
Unless I was kissing her, holding her hand, being affectionate with her, I was passing. Whereas, she looked way more gay
yeah.
than me. And so that level of fear would be obviously different, even in our us as individuals, as opposed to us as a couple.
Right.
And since then, now, I wouldn't go on the trip.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
I think that's where I'm at now. Maybe like 5-10 years ago, I would have been like, no, like, I'll make, you know, I can't think of the word, but like...
an effort to not be seen as gay?
I would make sacrifices, but sacrifices wasn't the word I was looking for. But anyway, I would make sacrifices to make sure that I could go on that trip because I put value on that trip. But now I think I'm putting more value on, like, me as a person and not wanting to make changes to who I am as a person in order to fit in to what's accepted somewhere, I guess.
Totally.
Like, I don't want to, like, change how I carry myself or the way I dress my clothes or the way I carry my hair to make it I'm more accepted somewhere just for their sake.
Yeah.
Or, like, protection of my own safety.
No, but it's protection of own safety.
Yeah.
Right? And that's... by you not changing anything about you and me not changing anything about me in both of our, like, expressions,
mm-hmm.
I inherently navigate the world with more privilege than you do
mm-hmm.
as a queer person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which I think talking about the intricacies of privilege and power, it's just not lost on us, I guess, that there's layers and layers to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? And I think it just highlights... how complex it is to be a confident queer person even today living in Canada.
Yeah.
Right? And yes, we're talking about traveling overseas and traveling to different contexts, but it's still something that has to take up energy
mm-hmm.
in our mind, right? And it's like, and us too, of the, you know, world of queer people, walk with a lot of privilege.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Right? And so... and even, like, privilege in who we are, but also privilege given our past history that isn't traumatic.
No, absolutely not.
Right? When it comes to our queerness. Oh, I lost my point there. It's gone.
Womp womp.
Same, though. Right? Just repetitive at this point. But also, that comes right back to home.
Yeah.
Like, I think I was texting with you, I don't know, last week or 2 weeks ago, when I was like, wow, I'm just realizing that... on Facebook Marketplace, if I'm selling something and someone's coming to my house to pick it up, I have to decide consciously
mm-hmm.
to share or not share about my partner.
Yeah, because there's a risk factor there.
Because it could potentially be unsafe.
Yeah. We've had the same kind of conversation when we have people come into the house to do work.
Right.
You have that choice, like, is it going to be one of us? Is it going to be both of us? What's that person's perception going to be? Is their mannerisms going to change around us as soon as they realize we're together? Because that has happened as well.
Oh.
So we'll have people that are coming in to do work, and there's either, like, no reaction, they either don't clue in, they think we're roommates.
Oh, my God.
Or then they
we're 40-year-old roommates.
Living in the suburbs together, of course you do. Or we have people that come in, and then they realize, and then their mannerisms start changing, and then you just kind of get, like, this weird vibe, and it's like, okay.
And that's not... yes, and that is not inherently unsafe. A weird vibe isn't inherently unsafe.
No. But you pick up on
it. You pick up on it, and you're...
and it changes your future interactions.
Absolutely. And it might not be a red flag, but
it's a flag.
Is a yellow flag.
You can see it waving in the wind.
It's a flag,
yeah.
And it's not a pride one.
No.
Right? It's like, there. It makes me feel, like, icky.
I'd rather just have a neutral no reaction, like, oh, this person wants to get their... furnace maintained.
Yes.
We just do that job and then we leave it at that.
Which, isn't it insane to be like, all I want is someone to say, cool, this human wants to have their furnace maintained.
Yeah.
But instead, the thought of you getting your furnace maintained automatically goes to who you're sleeping with.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with anything.
No. But the person's, like, in your house, and, you know, there's, your mind wanders about, like, okay, like, what are they going to think, and how are they going to interact?
And... oh, my God, 100%. And it's also, I think we were selling, like, the wedding arbor, the, like, last week or something, and it was on Facebook Marketplace, but I think it was, like, this person had no photos, or I forget what, but in my head, I was, like, I'm strategically not saying
mm-hmm.
details about my wedding. You know, this person was, like, really friendly. Details about my wedding, because I don't know who's showing up to my house, and Aaron's, not that I need Aaron home, like, bodyguard, but the thought enters your mind that, like, they're coming to your address, they know where you live.
They could come back.
And that's not the way I navigate the world, in, like, the world's a terrible place mentality at all.
No, but I think you have to be aware of it when you have certain experiences.
Yeah. And that's us, again, coming from incredibly privileged positions in the queer community.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And so, if that's how we feel, people are feeling worse off than us.
Yeah.
And far more in fear states than us.
Yeah.
Right? So when we talk about, we don't get into this now because we don't have time, but if we talk about the implications of mental health and queer people, every time you have to decide to disclose your identity for your security, that is, and we hate the term microaggression, but it's a subtle fear-based discrimination that repeatedly happening equals the same physical manifestations as trauma. It's just trauma.
Yeah.
So that directly impacts the mental health of the queer community, which then obviously leads into all the other domains.
Right.
Wow.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's really a lot. And I guess, audience, it's just something to think about. Think about the intricacies of privilege within the queer community, because if you haven't had to, that speaks to the level of privilege that you're listening from.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. It's just something to recognize. And also, when you see, like, straight people in queer-presenting relationships, I said that wrong. Queer people in straight-presenting relationships are just as queer as queer people in queer-presenting relationships.
I was going to say before we ended that I really did want to talk about that at some point. That it appears like it's a straight couple, but either one or both is queer in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the invalidation that comes for those people to say, I am a part of the queer community. Well, no, you're not, because you're...
With.
Society looks at you as if you are in a straight relationship, but that doesn't make that person any less queer.
100%.
Which is a great topic of conversation for another time.
It doesn't make them less queer.
No.
It does make them have more privilege on a grand scale in society.
Yeah, because you're...
You're
part passing, of the majority,
right?
You're looking like you're part of the minority.
You're perceived as part of the majority,
mm-hmm.
as me compared to you.
Yes.
But it doesn't make your queerness more important than mine.
No.
I like this conversation.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Think about all the things we said today. And if it brings up anything in you that feels like defensiveness, that's okay. Sit with it.
Mm.
Right? Because I think privileges are really, it's a topic that does make people really uncomfortable. And we're just inviting you to think about it.
Yep.
And not judge people as straight because you see them as the opposite sex. We love you very much. Be gentle on yourselves, as always. Be gentle on others. And we will see you again shortly. And toodles!